Hello, everyone. Hang on one second. I don't have my mic on.
Let me get the recording going. So today is module 4 coaching on No BS. So if you want coaching, you need to be getting coached on topics that are inside of module 4. Let me pull that up so I can read off to you what those topics will be so that you guys can make sure that you are on topic and not getting coached on something else all the way. So module 4 is the staying on track for life. This one was really important to be able to give to you guys in No BS, because once you go through, first of all, just understanding the things to do to lose weight, and then next we start talking about, okay, here are the things we do, but if we don't have our brain aligned to doing them, we work against ourselves. We're just making ourselves do stuff without really wanting to do it, understanding why we do or don't do things. So that's the think, feel, do cycle part of stuff. Then what ends up happening is, now I know what to do. I know all of my thinking around it. So my overeating stuff pops up and I need to start learning how to sit through urges, understand my urges, really dig into my overeats, my strategies for not doing that anymore. And then the last part is just kind of like all the other stuff that comes up along the way. I fucked up. How do you get back on track? What do you do when you feel like shit? Just like today's the first day of my period. Just going to tell you guys. It's a party downtown right now. What do you do on weekends? Like, what are strategies against weekend versus weekend? And then what do you do? How do you take it on the road? How do you conquer the scale, stalls and plateaus? When do you start leveling things up? Like, when do I start making my 1% changes? When do I go from making a doable plan to challenging myself? When do I know when it's the right time to start experimenting? It's just like with, y'all have heard me talk 1,000 times. You know, I used to eat ice cream every single night, and eventually I stopped eating some ice cream because I was just leveling up. I wanted to see what life was like when I went hard after my goals versus just, like, I didn't need to meet myself at the same place that I was when I started. Once I got momentum underneath me, I was ready to change some stuff. And it wasn't from deprivation or I can't have this, or if I don't give these things up, I won't be able to lose weight. It was literally, I had unlearned relying on ice cream and I was ready to give it up. Loving your body at any size and your future self. Okay. So if you want coaching, raise your hand. Stephanie Lumpkin, you're up first. While we are talking about, while I'm getting Stephanie pulled up, let me tell you guys a couple of little things. Number one, make sure that if you're going to do the turkey trot, that you're signed up by tomorrow. We will be closing registration down tomorrow, November 1st, because we are going to start shipping medals and we're going to start shipping the hats. So make sure you get signed up. You can go to pnptribe.com, go to the events tab. Same thing with camp. You're going to get signed up for camp. Your cutoff for the first shipment of goodies is November 15th. And there is a bonus coming out that I'm going to talk about tomorrow that for everybody who signs up before November 15th, we'll be doing a live wine and vision party board party with me on January 15th. So it'll be after camp. Once you have all of your stuff ready that we work on that weekend, we're going to do a live vision board class online. All right. Let's go. All right, Stephanie, what are we coaching on?
So I've been thinking a lot about my future self. Okay. I've always thought about myself in the future and what I'm excited about. So that's not difficult. But I'm a surgery resident. I'm an April baby to No BS, and I'm getting closer to the end of my residency and trying to figure out what I want to do as the next steps. And I found that I'm finding a lot of parallels between being too far off in the future and really trying to figure out like what to do next. Like, my future self just seems like this like really idealized version. And sometimes I'm like, I am a badass. I'm doing a lot. I have two young kids. Like, I love my routine. And then other days I'm like, oh, this is just, I'm either too blessed and this is all going to fall apart. And that thought I have to keep like.
That has nothing to do with an idealized future self.
Yeah.
That has more to do with a daily shitty thought.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like what I feel like I'm lost as far as like sometimes what the next steps are. So sometimes I'm noticing myself, and I've been trying to catch myself with not allowing myself to say I don't know what the next steps are and trying to figure that out. But it just feels like I do really, really well for a few weeks at a time, and then just I lose it. And I feel like part of it is that future self piece.
Well, and this is interesting. I think a lot of times we like to blame like our future self and our like either lack of being able to orient towards it or whatever as the reason why we're messing up now. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's really the case? Or like what, tell me specifically something like I'm on track and then I'm not.
Mm-hmm. So I have a really set morning routine. I get up, I use my mornings really well, and I will, I pack all my food for the day because I know I've already planned it out, and that part's relatively easy. And then I will like make a mistake or like at work or something, I'll get really overwhelming and I will have like, I won't end up eating what I had planned, or I'll eat something more than I had expected, or even just go straight to binge. And then I'll feel like,
so tell me how any of that is related to your future self.
I feel like I'm never going to make it to my future self. Like I've
right. So let's clarify the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're wanting to spiral out in, it's probably hard. It's like, I can see my future self, but I'm not sure. Like you're creating all this stuff. It's like, why are you deciding that things at work overwhelm you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, some of it is truly life or death every single day.
But that's not overwhelming. There are some doctors who thrive on it.
Yeah.
Like, and this is the thing I want you to think about. I'm asking you a trick question, and you're trying to go.
But I think for the most part, I actually am pretty level-headed and don't, like, I don't think about how I'm overwhelmed. I don't, you know.
Yeah, like, but then you, because
like,
you
I'm handling that great. But I, yeah, and then a lot of times I'm not overwhelmed about the work itself. I'm overwhelmed about the fact that I'm like not becoming amazing every day. Like if I make a mistake,
but that's
I'm
a better way to articulate. All right. So that's a better way to articulate your problem. Mm-hmm. I know why I'm overwhelmed. I'm thinking that I am not going to get my goals. I'm thinking these things. Mm-hmm. When I asked you what the problem was, your first thought was things at work get overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's more so just when I'm at work, I'm thinking about my future self, or, you know, honestly, I'm at work more often than not. So those just, it happens to be more, that's where I'm at when I'm thinking about those things.
It's like, I want to just get more granular. It's when you're at work and you feel overwhelmed, you're bypassing the part where you take responsibility for your overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
You're attributing it to things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not the reason why I feel overwhelmed right now is because I'm beating myself up over something. The reason why I feel overwhelmed right now, the reason why I want to eat, the reason why I have a desire to eat right now, something off my plan is because I'm telling myself I fucked up over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't make this so complicated about your future self.
Okay.
Make this really simple. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm driving the desire to eat is because I'm thinking this about me. If I beat my, like, I want you to, you just tell me, if you spend time beating yourself up, do you have an increased desire to eat?
Yes.
If you spend time thinking about how amazing you are getting to your future self, do you have an increased desire to eat?
Well, so yesterday I did, and that's where I kind of got lost in my thought work was I had had a really productive day. I had met with a mentor that was like, you're going to sail through fellowship. Like she was just like really, really positive. And I came home like, you know, talking a mile a minute to my husband about like, this is all of our options and all the things I get to think about for the next year. And like, it's way, you know, it's a good thing. And then I came inside and just was like, how do I make all of this happen?
So it wasn't that you were dreaming about your future self. I want you to listen to what you just said.
Yeah.
You weren't sitting around telling your husband, oh my gosh, the possibilities are limitless. Can you give me the Cheetos?
Okay. I have to do an obscene amount of things to get to is kind of what I was telling myself.
Yeah, it's when your train of thought switched back over to not your future self, mm-hmm. to you seeing your present self and thinking, how will I get all that done? There's going to be so much, blah, blah, blah. It goes back to, yeah. That's just like doubting yourself is a version of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. That we all tend to miss very often. Mm-hmm. Spending time, like it's one thing to ask yourself, I'm not really sure how I'm going to get this done. So I think what I'm going to do is I know that I have the ability to make really good plans and to think things through. This is when I'm going to do that. Like I'm going to spend time thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Or we do it this way. I got all these things to do. Oh my God, I don't know how I'll ever get that done. We totally forget that we have any capabilities to plan, that we've ever had success before figuring something out. We don't tell ourselves any of that. We self-loathe. We think things like, how will I get it all done? And underneath that is your self-doubt of like, well, I don't know. Yeah. It's probably going to cost you your weight loss. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I'll have to make big decisions and I can make the wrong decision.
Which is self-loathing. Mm-hmm. Can you ever make a wrong decision?
I know intellectually the answer is no, but it feels like such a big decision that...
No, you I'll can't ever make a wrong... Like, I want you to just play with me for a minute. Suspend your belief. If you always think that there's wrong decisions that can be made, then you slow down decision-making. You open the door to regret. You open the door to self-doubt. And you open the door to second-guessing. You're saying, like, I would like version one of me. The one who makes decisions and then looks back and beats herself up. That's the version I want of me. Or you have the version of you who always says, I never make a wrong decision. I make decisions and I know how to react, course correct, figure it out. If it doesn't go the way I thought, I move forward in the best, like I make the next best decision. There are the best decisions to make in the moment, given what you know. And then there's the group of people who think I make decisions and sometimes I really fuck up and have to beat myself up over it.
Yeah. Okay. That helps. That helps a lot.
Yeah. It's one of those things where we want to argue with this idea that there are wrong decisions because what we do is we convince ourselves that's being safe. It just means I'm going to self-loathe first. I'm going to picture my worst case scenario. I'm going to make it really hard to pull the trigger, probably make the same decision. I'm just going to make the process excruciating beforehand, make the decision, and then have the soft landing place of regret and second guessing available to me. It's like a crazy way that we all do it. Now, there is the way of looking at something and deciding, is this right for me? And weighing your options, but not from fear that you're going to get it wrong. That's kind of how you're doing it. Like it's so big. I could get it wrong, all this other stuff. It's like, if there was no wrong decision, you just want to make the best decision given the information you have now. How would you weigh your options differently than from the place of, I'm probably going to fuck up and God, that would be horrible. Or I might fuck up, even if we don't, like some people, like I just never make decisions from the place of it could go wrong. I just always make a decision from the place of, we'll find out what happens and go from there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get back to your eating because I don't want to cut you loose with you still coping with your food.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to go through your day at work and to be overwhelmed and not eat over it?
I'm not eating at work most of the time. Like, I mean, I'm eating what I plan at work, And I've started doing kitchen closed after dinner just because it's a decision that I don't have to make anymore. And it's nice. I don't argue with myself about it.
What about those times, though, when you do want to eat off plan? Because when I asked you about what was kind of going on, the first example you gave me is I'm at work. I've packed my lunch. I've done myself a solid, but something happens. I get overwhelmed. Yeah. And I don't eat what I planned. So let's problem solve for that piece.
So I feel like I get stuck on all the logistical pieces. Like I've left my Freedom Pay at home. So that way I'm not like tempted to just go get free food from the cafeteria. Okay. And I like don't carry my credit card around anymore. So I have to like go back to my locker to make the decision to go buy food. But
those like, are awesome strategies, by the way. I just want to say to everyone that those are really good strategies in terms of she's allowing her brain, like our habit brain's going to kick in and be like, oh, fuck, life or death. Get a snack that's not planned. that'll save someone's life. Like our brains love that shit. But what she's done is she has made it harder to react fast. So that the conscious brain has a moment to come in and say, like, as we're like, you know, marching off to go get that card, like, are we sure? Like, do you know what you're doing? Warning.
Yeah. And the other strategy that works a lot of the time is like, just saying like, what do I really need right now? Like if I have time for a snack, then I have time for a nap is what I've been telling myself and like sleeping away for a few minutes and try not to feel guilty about it. Like just like, this is what I need. But then I'll walk, like if that's going on and I have to like go visit the intern workroom to go tell them something and they always have free food in there. If I'm in that thought process of just strategies on strategies, then I'm like, oh, that's quick and easy. Let me take a bite of that before I, you know, get a chance to talk myself out of it.
The strategy that I want to offer you is the one that you haven't, the biggest one that you haven't really addressed, which is solving for the overwhelm to begin with. It's like, you're basically like, you've got these great ways of making sure that your conscious brain can kick in and kind of question the behavior. But what's not happening is it's kind of like you're resisting the urge and distracting from the urge.
Yeah.
And you miss out on the opportunity to work on the reason it's there to begin with. And or making the urge not as urgent as it seems. So there's two ways you can do it. The first of which is just even simply when you're wanting to eat, saying this is the result of overwhelm and it's not a result of something happening to me. It's a result of something I'm thinking about. Like, but you don't even have to solve any of it. But if you just get your brain lit up on the idea that there's no threat, I'm just feeling this way because I'm thinking something.
Yeah.
That takes urges down a significant notch at that point. The second strategy, which I think is the most important one for most of us, is especially if you have like 90 seconds where you can go to the bathroom or just do something to just sit for a second, even if it's on a potty, is to, whenever you feel an urge to go do, like that desire kicks up to the go eat, is to go sit and ask yourself, what does the urge feel like in my body right now? If I could get more of you doing that, to where you pause when you know you're having an urge to eat, when you know, like you're walking to a kitchen, you're thinking about food, all of that stuff, that is like the red light that your brain is now going through urges. It's scrolling to find what it needs in all the things that have worked in the past. It's just like, it reminds me, most of y'all, this is going to date me so fucking bad. But in the game, in the movie War Games, when the Whopper was sitting there and running all the tic-tac-toe scenarios and trying to find the launch codes, your brain is running all the launch codes that it can think of until it finds the one that's going to unlock the urge. And so when you are thinking about food, walking around, noticing things, all that, know that an urge is underneath the surface. Sometimes the urges are so subtle like that. So If you can get to where you can understand that the urge is honestly just a feeling that's going on in your body, it's like, mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be solved. I'm solving it with just noticing the feeling. And then you get better also at mm-hmm. disconnecting that urges need to be resolved, that they need to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. They need to end. You run through a lot of that bullshit too.
Okay.
So those are just a couple of things to also consider. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Carrie Rains. Everybody's like, I love war games. Everybody that's like under 30 is going to be like, what game are you talking about? It's like, such a good movie. All right. I'd hate to even watch it right now, though. Can you imagine how like old we would all feel if we watched it and the computer tech? I mean, it was such advanced technology back then. What are we coaching on?
Hi. So I think it's Dr. Day. And actually, I totally understand what Stephanie was going through. Actually, I've just done a lot of work myself on urges on call. And I made a really big breakthrough a few weeks ago. And so I thought I would finally get through my plateau, stall, whatever you want to call it. And I didn't. And so I've had to do a lot of thought work, you know, really looking, diving into what other changes I might need to make. So I'm going to put this down. Next, like what else, how can I level up from here so that I can try to kind of make progress? And I think what it kind of comes down to, shockingly, is overeating. and
sneaky, you know, little devil.
I know, right? And I mean, I look back, I've been at this for a long, I joined up in like April, May. And, you know, but I've been at this for a long time. And I've like just done a ton of work. When I look back at how much I used to eat versus how much I eat now, it's very different, but I still think I'm eating too much. And so I sit down and I try to take a pause and I try to look at my 14-year-old and how slowly she eats. She'll have 4 bites and I'll be done, you know? And I really try to pause, but I just feel so frantic. It's like this, just this overwhelming feeling like I have to eat it all right now, you know?
Why? Where's that food going?
Right. So
why do you feel, what is your thought that causes frantic? That like you've got a feeling of frantic. So we're looking at our food.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling frantic and we're shoveling it in.
I am super excited to eat the food. I think some of it's that, like, I just want this.
But I want to like point that out. I just want this is not an exciting thought.
Got it. Yeah.
What does I just want this really feel like?
So back with my work urges, that's what I used to feel. And I would get that sort of urgency, but I think underneath what I kind of realized is that when I was having my work-related urges, I wasn't feeding myself with any pats on the back for any good work done, you know, and or for doing things that were hard. And so by midday, I was like, I had this big hole in me that I needed to fill with food. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so where is your overeating now? Like do we want to clean up?
I would say largely it's at lunch and dinner. Okay. It's eating past what would have been a plus two, like eating past satisfied with, I think part of it's because I eat so much, but even when I do slow myself down, it's hard not to go back for more.
Well, that's because you're not used to it. So yes. I don't want you to think that we're going to stumble upon this magic unicorn thought that's going to like prance through your field and be like, oh, now it's all so easy. Corinne said the magic word and I wasn't going to have to sit with feeling uncomfortable, awkward, and frantic.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I just need to sit with it. I think what comes up is disappointment that it's done feeling probably a little bit of, I should be able to eat more.
And that's,
which I know it's not true, but you know,
right. Yeah. Well, and that's where you want to, like, when you hear that thought, like, mm-hmm. you want to be prepared that thought's going to come in. So mm-hmm. I should be able to eat more is something that I think that's not true. Like that mm-hmm. would be the first level up thought. You've got to break free. Like it doesn't sound true now because you don't right. have your dinner in front of you when you frantically want to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But when that moment comes, it's like, fuck, we just ate a lot more. Why are we getting more keto? Why can't we just finish yep. this? This tastes good.
Yeah.
Your brain is like, no, I'm 12 years old right now.
Right. Oh, it's how totally it feels. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I want to ask you about this. We really haven't, though, discussed even at lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel frantic because of what? Like, you said, like, do you really, like, tell me more about that, because I really want to help you solve yeah. this to where, at least in the moment, when it's time to feel awkward as fuck,
mm-hmm.
you know what to think.
Yeah.
On purpose when all the rest comes in.
It's almost like I've gotten the feeling, feels like when you get something you really want, when you're about to open a present and you know it's inside, okay, and so, you're so overwhelmingly excited about it.
So tell me, so this is what I'm curious about. So you kind of address that at work a little bit. I think this mm-hmm. is the same thing going on. Why is yeah. your food at lunch and dinner such mm-hmm. a relief? Because I think right. that's what's happening, is that when you get to eating and you know that, like, for your greater good, for long-term gratification, stopping yep. is going to be the best option. But short-term, it's like, but I'm not going to get relief. What do you need right. relief from?
I think, sorry, I always cry. but I think, honestly, my shitty thoughts about my life, which is a totally great life, logically, I just have a hard time. See, like, I think I just get bogged down in, like, it's not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be better. You know.
I'm going to promise you. What is your name? I just have MB.
Marie. Sorry.
Marie.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's weird. Sorry.
I am going to promise you.
Mm-hmm.
That is why when it comes time to eat and you enjoy the food, it's like, if I'm not going to, this is how our brains work. If I'm not going to get enough over here, I've got to find a place somewhere in life where I can get enough.
Yep.
Even if it's in a place that I have done so much work on and realized this is not where I want to get my enoughness from anymore.
Yep.
And I think that's something that, like, to take, like, when you talked about leveling up, I think we got to work harder on you leveling up your thought life, yeah. not on, like, I want you to think about this. If you're not going to give yourself enough gratitude, self-appreciation,
mm-hmm.
examining your shoulds about your life, like when you say, I should be happy, stop mm-hmm. saying that. Start saying, no. You know what? I'm not happy. It's time to find out why. Instead of trying to make myself be happy with something that my brain obviously has thought errors about.
What I realized that I was doing is, and you talked about this in the, I think it was looking in the Looking in the Mirror podcast. I realized what I was doing is thought process. I should be happy. My brain goes, but you're not happy. Figure out why. And then it goes, I'm going to beat myself up for having thoughts that aren't happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you listened to module 2 of No BS?
Mm-hmm.
You know where I talk about the scientist versus the judge? Mm-hmm.
The judge. Yep.
You're being the judge. That's why yeah. it feels shitty. And that's why you're making yep. no progress on figuring out. Like, this is the thing, and I want to tell all of you. There is no, we all have a human brain. There is no reason to feel bad that, because if you have a great life and you still don't like it, it's not because something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because our brains want to have problems. It's just a primitive brain trying to figure out, well, how can we feel bad today? How can I keep you safe? How can I keep you from not blah, blah, blah? It's, yeah. There's literally no, like, and I'm right there with you. I was crying about this myself. Talk about crying. About this past, I get coached every Monday by my own coach. I have an hour of this shit every week with someone who's just as harder than me. And I was crying about just my life. And I literally was crying and saying, I have everything I ever dreamed of. Everything. I couldn't even tell you one thing that I would want. I have the husband. I've lost the weight. Mm-hmm. I got a great kid and have a successful business. I dreamed, and when I dropped out of college, I dreamed that I wouldn't have to worry about money because I would be able to figure out a way to make it. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I was going to be a loser. Like, I was going to have to work, like, not that my mother's a loser, but my mother had to work 2 to 3 jobs her entire life. And I just knew that was going to be me. Mm-hmm. And I was crying because I can't enjoy it. And I'm working on enjoying it. It seems like the craziest thing ever, but all it is where your brain does not know how to find what's right automatically. We have to, on purpose sometimes, love our life. We have to, on purpose sometimes, remind our brain there are right things. Mm-hmm. It does, like, there's nothing wrong with you because of that. And I think there's a lot of us that feel that way.
Yeah. I spent years training, trying to find the problems, and it's hard to reset my brain to find the positivity, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. And to be thankful that you have a brain. Like I was telling my coach, I said, you know, I'm really like, I know it seems crazy to work on enjoying your life and stuff, but I'm very grateful that I have a brain that will push me to do things that I probably wouldn't choose otherwise. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out how to get my brain to now push me in a way that doesn't burn me out. Mm-hmm. Like, look for the positives. Like, you have a brain that can find problems, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing. And in all these areas, tell yourself, this is where it works beautifully. Mm-hmm. Here are the areas where I need to work on training it to do it differently. Just that skill's not needed over here. Mm-hmm. It you know, I just cut yourself some slack on that. Yes. If you do that, I promise you the work on appreciating your life, it will still have to be purposeful and stuff. But when you take the layer of self-judgment out for having to do it, it just becomes work you enjoy doing.
Yeah. I do a gratitude. I used to do like some self-love thing. Maybe I'll just try to expand that a little more. I meditate every day. Like, I do all the things. I think it just takes some time. I give myself
the first thing is find all the areas in your life where you're not happy.
Yeah.
Find your thinking around it without mm-hmm. judgment. You're trying to go to the happy place. I want you to look at how you automatically wanted to skip the part where you're like, let me see what I'm not happy with. Mm-hmm. If you're like, I promise you, Marie, is it Marie?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm so terrible says, with names.
No, it's like,
I swear to God, at camp, they have this monitor that's 6 inches that sits downstage, and they type in the name of the person so that, you know, me and my Magoo glasses can read it for one and remember people's names.
I forget my husband's name, so, you know.
But I want you to think about this. If you really drop that judgment piece, you'll know the next step is, I just wonder why I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be something really good for me to know. Like, all the areas where sometimes mm-hmm. I'm just not happy. Mm-hmm. And there may be some things to fix. There may be some conversations that need to be had. There may be nothing but thought changes. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's always step one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I get it, y'all. Like, I mean, I literally do have just more than I ever thought I would. When I think about me at 17, trying to kill herself, overweight, marrying a douchebag out of high school simply because I was so mentally unstable that I didn't think I could be alone. You know, I just tell myself all the time, I have so much to enjoy, and if I'm not enjoying it, I just need to work on it. There's nothing wrong with all of us, because sometimes we do have great lives, and sometimes I go to work on things and I notice I actually have some stuff I need to clean up. Sometimes I have found relationships that just weren't serving me anymore. But you have to be willing to look at all of it and not beat yourself up over it. Why we got to talk about such deep shit on the day that I'm on my period? Come on now. Ashley Taylor. Well, Carrie Rains, let me call on you, then Ashley, I'll get you. Because I tried to call you and I called on somebody else. The little thingy, like, jumped on me. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Y'all, I got my eyebrows microbladed. Y'all see this?
Hello, they look great.
Thank you. I can't sweat. I have to, like, not, I didn't know this, but you can't sweat for a week when you get your eyebrows microbladed. You can't get them wet. I'm like washing my hair like this, I use purple shampoo. So the last thing I need is to get purple in there, and then, like, my eyebrows will be crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
What I do for beauty. All right, well, we coach you.
Well, there's so much. And Marie, her name was Marie, right, was really hit some of it, which is great. Thank you, Marie. I guess, you know, overwhelm is a big part of what everybody is going through right now, including myself. And, you know, there's a lot. We'll just put the whole thing as overwhelm. But, you know, I started last September, so I've been doing this for a little over a year now. I love it. I've got a great accountability group, which is phenomenal. I love them. We've become amazing friends. But my problem is at this point, you know, I think I'm using the overwhelm as an excuse to overeat.
Oh yeah. We all
do. I mean, I specifically remember, you know, the first months going, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it only takes this much food to actually make me full, you know, I mean, to satisfy me. And now I'm just blowing by that. And, you know, I need to figure out how to, I hate to say get back, because that, I know we're not supposed to say that, but, you know.
It's okay. But here's the thing. Last year, were you, like, this is the way you're talking about overwhelm. Well, we're all in it now. And a lot of us are doing this right now, where we're acting as if overwhelm's not optional right now. We're acting as if overwhelm has just been dumped on all of us, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way you're talking about it.
Well, that's true.
Because if there's nothing you can do about overwhelm, and you're someone who responds with eating, well, until the overwhelm goes away, the eating can't either. That's what makes it so harder to get back to what you're doing. The only difference between you now and you last year is you were thinking differently. It's not COVID.
No, actually, COVID is probably the, I hate to say the least, because it's not the least.
Well,
not,
but and whatever
else. I just got a lot of family crap going on, too. And
but that's the point.
Right.
It's like family crap, politics, COVID, all of that. Yeah. That's just stuff outside in the world. And none of it becomes a problem until your brain looks at it and says, oh, fuck, that's way too much. I better go get a snack.
True that. Yeah. No, you're right.
Well, that's why I wanted to pull out just the way that you were kind of, and the reason why I mentioned COVID is because a lot of people are collectively thinking right now that somehow that our feelings, like, well, you know, I know it's all driven by our thoughts until now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that ever happens that causes your feelings. There's always a thought applied to it. Now,
yeah,
you can have family crap going on, and that's fine. And you cannot like it. And you can, like, there's can be a thousand things that you can think about it. And they don't have to be good. But you do need to be aware that everything that you're feeling because of it is from your thinking. And knowing your thinking, like, when this is what I always tell people. If you're eating because of things, it's because you've decided that those things control you.
Yeah.
Rather than, here are the things, and here's me, and here's how I want to show up for myself. So in order to show up for myself this way, I want to take ownership of my thinking. It can be as simple as, they can all like act like assholes, and I refuse to eat over them. Rather than they're all acting like assholes, and it makes it really hard for me to stop eating when I'm satisfied.
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely. I've been journaling more. That seems to help.
Well, and that always helps, like just seeing how you're thinking about things and finding thoughts that you want to keep that don't feel so great, finding thoughts that you just want to sit with for a while just to get used to knowing, like, okay, the reason why I'm feeling so bad about this situation is because I keep thinking this. Being in that space very often is just enough thought work to reduce eating because you really get to start seeing, I'm feeling this way because of my thinking. So if I know it's my thinking, I don't have to eat over it. I'm now thinking about my thinking. That becomes my new action. That becomes the new doing versus, oh, fuck, you know, it's just one of them overwhelming times for all of us. And I just notice I'm eating now. I don't know why it's so much easier.
And that's what I needed to figure out what the new action was, you know, and the thinking about my thinking is, I'm a type of person, I need to kind of know what the action should be.
And well, tell me when you find current thinking that overwhelms you, what do you want the action to be? You don't need me to tell you. What do you want to do in those situations?
Well, I want to not eat.
Okay, the action becomes don't eat. The action becomes feel overwhelmed.
Yeah. But I don't want to feel overwhelmed because I get stressed and my head hurts.
Like, this is a funny thing. I don't want to feel overwhelmed. So I just want to eat and then feel overwhelmed with weight loss and still have all my shitty thoughts to boot. Right. About my family. Or if the action is, I don't want to feel overwhelmed, figure out what overwhelming thoughts I can let go of. Overwhelmed, guys, is the most useless, indulgent feeling that we have.
Yeah.
It means I can't handle this, which is such a lie. Because you always handle it.
Oh, yeah.
You either don't talk to people, set boundaries, eat. We're always handling it. That's why it's so ineffective to sit around and think it.
Right. True.
Have you done the relationships course?
I'm not.
You should probably go through the relationships course and whatever's going on in your family. Like, who is it? Who's the main culprit?
My mom and my sister.
Then I would work on one of them. So if you go to the bonus courses, there's the relationships course. Kathy right. and I did a workshop last, I think it was last March. We did it okay. online. There's an amazing workbook in there.
Okay.
Do it on either your sister, like pick one sister. You said sisters.
No, just one.
Okay. Either do it on She's your sister enough. Or do it on your mom. Like watch okay. the videos, do the entire workbook on one person, then watch the videos and do the entire workbook on the next person.
Okay.
I think that's where I would start. And then just between now and then, just decide whatever's going on with your mother and your sisters. Is it worth eating over? Is it worth your weight loss?
No.
Then that's the thought you tell yourself when you want to eat. Say like, you know what? I may be pissed at them. I may be hurt. I may be overwhelmed by the situation. But at the end of the day, whatever I'm thinking about all of that is not worth my goals. And it's not worth eating over.
Yeah.
And come up with strategies around like, I'm willing to be upset about this for now until I figure it out. And I think sometimes that's also someone over here was talking about politics and COVID and all this other junk and need a latter thought. At some point, guys, you've got to decide, like, let's say that, because I don't want to get political, but whoever wins, let's say it's not your guy. Are they worth you gaining 10 pounds over?
Oh, no.
Right. But that's what we do. It's like, oh, my God, it's politics. It means everything. It's blah, blah, blah. It's like, you really yeah. want to say my pants don't fit because of Trump or Biden?
No.
I mean, because that's what you do when you eat over stuff like that. It's like there's a million things you can be doing, but eating is probably not going to solve it.
And, you know, when you put it like that, you know, do I want to gain 10 pounds because of Trump or Biden? If I switch that and have it, do I want to gain pounds because of my sister or my mother? It sounds just as silly in my head.
Right. It's like we should all, like, whatever the next size up for all of you is, you go, just go to Target. Hold those next size pants up and be like, these are going to be my mama pants. I'm going to call these my mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, and that's what I've been doing. I mean, the last month I've just been gaining, I see the scale going up, you know, and I'm like, no, I have not lost 46 pounds to see it go back up again. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I think that's just, it's just all I would do, Carrie, is realize nothing's changed other than my thoughts about my mom and my sister. And up until now, I thought that was a good reason to eat. Somehow my brain started thinking that this is too much for me. I can't, like, whatever's going on over there is too overwhelming. And when I set myself up to think these things cause me stress, I set myself up to need relief with food. It's just like, you know what? I can work on all that and I'm going to feel stressed, but I'm damn sure going to understand why, because I don't eat over it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's also the quickest way, I will tell all of you, when you catch yourself eating out of response to feelings, which, you know, we all do, but like with the overwhelm or stress or anxiety, whatever it is, the fastest way to figure out why you're eating is to take the food away for a couple of days. Just say like, you know what? I want to take the food away. And when I really want to eat, I want to ask myself, why do I want to eat so much right now? Like what's going on now? And it's not, I don't want you to just listen for the excuses and justifications and just like, oh, I just want to eat. Like what's under it? Like, why am I so agitated today? What have I been thinking about before this to set myself up to really want to eat? And that's also yeah. helpful in identifying these places in our life that we're kind of not managing our mind around, we just assume they're hard, or we just assume that they're too much, or we just assume we can't handle them, or we assume they're stressful. We assume those things are overwhelming. And that's like, oh, I really need to figure out what I keep thinking about all that stuff, because there's got to be a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I like that bike picture of her. I love anything that is like neon. I just like neon green and neon yellow. Oh my gosh. Every race shirt that I have that's that color, I will never throw it away. Ashley. Hey, Lori Clary. If y'all don't know, Lori Clary's one of my oldest, dearest friends. She's in the chat. Hey, Ashley, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, what are we coaching on?
Okay, let's see. So it's come to my attention that, so I, in June, I made like a camp goal, and I've noticed that I make these goals when I have events, and I'm like gung-ho for these goals, and I'm all in, and then once the event is over, I'm like, well, there's nothing else to look forward to, so what's the point of going on? And then the thought, I've been journaling about this, is that once I get to maintenance, I'm going to have nothing to look forward to anymore, and then I'm not going to be able to keep the weight off, because I'm going to start, you know, my old habits. And yeah, I think the issue is having something to look forward to.
So this is so interesting. This is where, so I'm actually talking about this at January camp. So this is really good that you talked about this. This is where a lot of times what we do, and I think I used to be this way. I'm way better at it now, but I'm like you. Like, I love me nothing better than a good deadline and an event to work towards on something, right? And that part's exciting. That's mm-hmm. why a lot of us do it, is because it's like, oh, it's so exciting, and I can see myself there, and there's like, you know, all of that. And that's very sexy and very alluring. What happens, though, is when you don't have the events, you do have what you have, which is the, well, what's left hangover.
Right.
Like, this is where we have to get better at, well, what is there to look forward to? And that's where you start putting more emphasis on setting goals is nice, but getting excited about the process is where magic happens. Yeah. And so you start identifying the steps required to get there, and then putting excitement into those, visualizing your life doing those things, seeing, like, taking yourself out of, like, a lot of times what we do is when we do future self with our, like, say our goal weight or whatever, we see ourselves at the weight, but we don't spend time visualizing ourselves living, doing the things that we're doing now, and enjoying them and seeing how all of that's going to look like. That, I think, is what I'm calling it, do goals. Mm. It's where we have actual outcome goals and goal weight goals, and like, you have your bigger goals, but then you've got to have these do goals. And those are the small lifestyle things I do, things I track, and mindset around how I'm living goals. That's what gets you to the point to where it's like, okay, I don't, like what's left? You've already envisioned all that's there. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. yeah, I think you're right. There's what's left. So like after July camp, I was like, okay, I made my goal. So, oh, it's October camp, so let's make a goal for October camp. And now I'm just like, what now? Well, I guess there's January camp, but I just don't want to get into the habit of just losing weight just because of events.
Well, and I think that's very smart of you. I think there's nothing wrong with what I would call using events as milestone markers, like ways to tether yourself to, okay, this is the next thing I'm working towards. Like this gives me, you know, because I'm like one of those people. I was actually, it's so funny you're mentioning this. I was reading a book this morning on all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with having these milestone events and stuff that you kind of anchor to, like, okay, I need a deadline. This gives me a deadline. This kind of like when you have a milestone event, it with a deadline, it allows your brain to kind of articulate how to back the truck up on how to put the pieces and things into place to make sure you're staying on track. But what I don't want you missing out on is that part where it's like, all right, I have my milestone event. This is what I want to accomplish by this time. But the do part is where I want to put my excitement into.
Okay.
The do part is where I want to make sure that when I get there, I have so much built up to be proud of, that I have so much stuff that I've enjoyed figuring out how to enjoy. It's kind of like I talk about like when you make your 24-hour plans, you know, like between now and then, I want to make X amount of plans. And not only do I want to make those plans by the end of it, I want them to feel this way. I want them to feel easy. I want them to feel a part of me. I want them to feel like a gift by the time I get to January camp. It's like thinking about your do goals in a way that says, you know what, when I lose weight, I want to make sure that I love my life so much. There would never be any entertainment in my brain that I would need to do anything different. So it's like I think for you, it's like you get excited. Like it's natural. We all get excited. Not everybody, but most of us, we do a lot of goal setting and we start a lot of things and we do things because there is so much exciting thoughts that go along with it. But we got to have that same kind of energy building and compounding in the things that we're doing. Because when we get there, we want to be exciting, but we want to be in love with our life. By the time we lose weight, we want to have changed our life so much that the weight loss happened only because our life changed. Not, I keep setting goals so that when I lose weight, I can say I changed my life, but you're kind of sitting there like, I just did a bunch of shit to get here.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
So what do you think? What's your January camp goal going to be?
It's actually like 7 pounds is my January goal.
So that's a good example of that's my outcome goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are going to be your new goals?
Well, one of my goals was to stop snacking, and I did that this week. So to continue that.
So let's get specific. Between now and then, no more than what percent? Like, let's say that you're going to track from now until January.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be 90% no snacking, 100% no snacking? Where would you like to be?
I think let's do 80% no snacking.
Okay. So between now and then, 80% of your days, there were no snacking. So you'll track that. And how do you want to be thinking about being basically snack-free by the time January gets here?
I want to be thinking Well, I kept telling myself that I don't need them. They were just my safety net. So, I mean, I want to be thinking that I I can, you know, go a day without eating a snack and be okay.
Let's try this one on.
Okay.
Because I want you to think about, if you are in January, 80% of the time, you never snack. What is your mindset? Like, are you sitting around going like, well, I don't really need them?
No, I'm excited. Proud of myself.
So you would probably be thinking something like, I'm the kind of person who knows, she absolutely knows when she truly needs a snack and when she doesn't.
I like that one. Okay.
That's what I want you thinking about. I want you thinking about like coming up with these little do goals that get you to the version of you that you like. Say, if I want to lose 7 pounds, part of that is going to be like, you know, I've been noticing that I've been doing a lot of snacking that's not, and the only reason why I know is because I follow you on Instagram. So I kind of already know this. So I don't want y'all all to think that nobody can snack, but she realized that she was doing a lot of snacking that just wasn't needed. It was just like habitual snacking more than anything. It's on my plan. I planned it, that kind of stuff. So she's leveling up. She's in that mindset of like, okay, it's going to be awkward, but majority of the time I've just noticed I'm not hungry. It's time to kind of take the pacifier away. So you think about, God, if I 80% of the time never snacked, I would probably be sitting around being the kind of person who absolutely knows, like, no, I'm legit hungry. It's okay to have a snack. I never have to worry about eating when I'm hungry. I also am the kind of person who's like, I legit know I don't need one right now and everything will be okay. Like, thinking about it that way means that between now and then, you have to start thinking that way. Mm. So it's not so much thinking, you know, well, I don't really need to eat snacks. They're not part of my plan. It's like, no, we want to be excited.
Yeah.
And so we start adopting the thinking that gets us there. Then when you get there, you're so proud of yourself. You've already adopted your mindset. That's how, when you get there, you're not just like, I lost 7 pounds, but now what? Right. You don't need a goal to be excited anymore because you're excited about who you are.
Okay. That makes sense. I also have, so I've been tracking my successful urges and I'm at 10 and I want 50 by January. So,
that's another great one. The best part of do goals is that they're trackable. Like, you can like set some numbers to it. So to say 50 successful urges. Now let's say that we get to January camp and you're like, oh my gosh, like I've had 50 successful urges. You'd be thinking what?
I'm a bad bitch.
Right. So that means that now, like, because this is the thing. Every time you have a successful urge, now you're like, I am a bad bitch. Look at me. One more on my way to 50. Like, I'm becoming that badass bitch around urges. Like, you start thinking that way, and that's how the process gets exciting. And then you have nothing to worry about when you get there. You've already adopted the mindset. Again, it's like one of those cases where you get there and you're not like, now what? Like, you're just so fucking in love with yourself along the way because you're setting up ways to win. You're setting up all the things that you need to work on, and you start setting up all the mindsets you need to adopt. You just become a different person on the way.
Right. That's good. Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. All right. It's good seeing your face. All right. Y'all, I'm going to get out of here. I have a baby tiger whose birthday is today. If y'all don't know, my son turned 18 today. 18. And he's a junior in high school. So we have, well, if this mommy tiger has anything to say about it, he's going to live with us for a long time. I'm trying. He was kind of borderline on if he wanted to go to college or not. For a while he wasn't going to go. He was just going to learn to code with his daddy, which is fine with me, but he's kind of started thinking that he can learn how to do all his coding from his daddy. Cause I'm going to just tell you right now, Chris is a genius and they work so hard. Logan codes like nobody's business now anyway. But he might go to college to take classes, one, to just meet new people. But he's such a curious, smart boy. He wants to, like, he would love to take classes on physics, astronomy. He just has so many interests. And I'm like, you should do that. So I was trying to bribe him into, you should just go and take like 2 to 3 classes. And as long as you're in college, you can just live with us. So I'm like sneakily trying to make sure that my cub never leaves my cave. I would love to slap the version of me, by the way, who when he was younger, and I just thought if he could just get 18 and go to college and do his own thing so me and Chris can live our life. I remember thinking that and thinking that people were just crazy when they would wish that their kids would stay home. And now I'm right the opposite. I'm just like, I want to fucking punch the version of me that used to sit around and think that. So anyway, I'm going to celebrate my baby's birthday. Y'all have a good one. I'll see everybody tomorrow. So just don't forget, tomorrow at 12 p.m. Central Time, open coaching. Get coached on whatever you want. And then at 2 p.m. Central Time, if you want to come back, or if you can't make 12 p.m. and you want to come back at 2, I'm going to be playing all of the Handling the Holidays bonus course stuff releases, I think today, if I'm not mistaken. It's either today or it's first thing in the morning. But the videos and the workbook will all be in your hot little hands as of officially tomorrow. But if you want to watch the videos with me live, I'm going to play them across Zoom here. And I will be in the chat talking to you guys. So if you have questions and stuff, I'll be answering them and just doing the things. And we're trying out something new to see if you guys like watching videos with coaches or me. So feel free to join me tomorrow too if you want to do that. All right, guys. Y'all have an amazing, amazing Halloween. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.